Sports Exchange, and day two is done. No upsets in day two. Pretty chalky day.
It was pretty chalky. Close games, good for some covers, but yes, no upsets.
Yes, no upsets. Robert Morris, so close, but yet so far. Wish Bryant kind of did their thing in the second half against Michigan State, but
kind of it fell apart. I mean, it was close until it wasn't.
Fell apart. We are less than 4 hours away from Purdue McNeese. I got to be out of here in like 45 minutes. So let's see how this goes. I'm also in the living room of my house, whispering so I don't wake anybody up. So if I sound like a fucking serial killer, bear with me. And also, I'm like lounging on my couch as a stand for my computer.
So way to do it.
Currently, I'm using my knees as a stand.
Comfort is key, Stan. Comfort is key.
Comfort is key. You never see me lie down for a pod, so this is a first. So anyway, let's just get it started. Let's start with not necessarily the big one. Let's just get the Duke stuff out of the way. Duke takes down Mount St. Mary's 93-49.
God, it looked like a JV team versus a varsity basketball team. I mean, when they put the bench warmers in, they put in the manager, the student manager, and then it looked like it was a close game. I mean,
manager?
I don't understand. 55 is like 5'9". That dude has no business being in a Division I basketball team. And
He's the best 5'8" college basketball player I've ever seen.
That's my point.
Say his name, Spencer fucking Hubbard. Say his name,
Spencer Hubbard.
Like, did I send you my video of when he came in at the Garden? We were blowing out Illinois, and he hit the three, and he sent the Garden into a frenzy.
No,
did I ever send you that? Oh my god, it's the greatest video.
But what, like, Stan, the game was close when the bench came in. Like, that's how you know this was even then it looked like Duke was the better team. Like, this was just it was a complete blowout. It was a complete blowout.
Just a great, and honestly, like, it was good to see that, like, our best players were logging like heavy minutes. And
Cooper Flagg in the second half was just walking down the court when he had the ball. They weren't even like, there was no attempt to stop him. I mean, this was a joke.
It didn't feel like Flagg was like still at 100%. He was at like,
it doesn't even seem like he was trying, dude. This was a joke of a game, Stan.
I feel like he was at 70% more or less. 70%, but Cooper Flagg at 70% is better than some people at 100%, specifically Mount St. Mary's. But yeah, Konkanipal only had 19 minutes. Sion James only had 19 minutes. Malawach only had 16. So it was pretty good to see that. It was pretty good to see that our stars are going to be well rested for tomorrow against Baylor. We'll see what happens, but it was a good win. One down, five more to go. That's all I care about. One down, five more to go. Next up, Baylor, Mississippi State, almost a generational, I wouldn't say generational, but it got scary towards the end. This was probably one of the better games of the slate. That freshman duo of Robert Wright and VJ Edgecombe is definitely something to worry about, just because they're just so fucking talented.
Lengthy. They're so lengthy.
Yeah. Edgecombe nearly killed a guy.
Yeah.
if that went down, oh my god, that would have been ridiculous.
It was a good game from both sides. I mean, Josh Hubbard for Mississippi State, talk about a dude who just chucks, but
He lives, breathes, and dies by that three-pointer.
Like, he just chucks and chucks and chucks, but he was hitting some big shots. They didn't have good second-half three-point shooting. That was kind of the main story. They outscored him in the second half, Mississippi State, but, you're down five going in the second
half.
Also, George
had a mirror, too. How many rebounds did he have?
That was the story of the game, dude. They got beat up with second chance points because they couldn't get any offensive rebounds or defensive rebounds.
15 offensive rebounds for Baylor. 22 second chance points in total.
That'll kill you. That'll kill you.
Yeah, that will kill you. So Duke takes on Baylor. The Jeremy Roach reunion happens. I just knew it was going to happen. Duke's favored by 11.5 on Saturday, so I wouldn't say that it's going to be emotional. If we just take care of business, Baylor's not that big. We're the biggest team in the country in terms of height, according to KenPom. So
It'll be a good game. Just hit some shots, you'll win the game.
It's the only double-digit spread of the second round, actually.
Really?
Yes. And that's what I'm saying about, like people are, like, upset that, like, there were no upsets. Like, the only upset was really McNeese. Do you realize what this sets up with the no upsets and the chalk? Like, it sets up for elite round 32, Sweet 16, Elite 8 games, and possibly could set up for an elite Final Four. So, I already said it.
Sets up for good basketball.
Sets up for great basketball. Let's stop complaining. Next up, Alabama, Robert Morris, 90-81. This got scary.
Yeah, it did. It did. It shouldn't have been this close, but it was a Bama game. I mean, you're going to score 90 points. You can't get in a running match with them. You can't.
Yeah. You can't. You can't get into a running match. Grant Nelson, he did play. He came off the bench and only logged 7 minutes, 5 points, 3 rebounds. It's pretty efficient. In replacement of him was Jaren Stevenson. Not good. 2 points, 1 rebound, and 1 of 4 shooting. Star of the game, I wouldn't even say Mark Sears, because he got most of the majority of his points from the free throw line. Honestly, it was Clifford Amore for me.
It was Clifford Amore, yeah.
It was Clifford Amore, the Rutgers transfer. 17 points, 4 rebounds. You would like to see a little bit more of him on the glass. You can also tack on 3 steals and 2 blocks for him as well. But the main thing for him, he was perfect from the field.
Yeah, 8 of 8. Yeah, and I think if you're a Bama fan, yeah, you might be a little worried about this game. Obviously, it was closer than you wanted to be, but... Dude, this is exactly how Bama plays. I mean, they shot the three pretty poorly, and if they just be a little more efficient next game, this is exactly how Bama plays. So this is a Bama-style win. This is what they do. I mean, I wouldn't be too concerned if I was a Bama fan.
Your next game is going to be against a team that plays at the pace of a tortoise. So let's all – they can kind of settle down there. Next up, Lipscomb, Iowa State. That was
– Yeah, I mean, it's Lipscomb, dude.
I know Keyshawn Gilbert's out. Iowa State's a scary team.
Yeah, they're deep.
They're a very deep team, and I'm very intrigued to see how far they go. Well, because I have them going to my Final Four, and I would greatly appreciate that. Next up, the other 12-5. I wouldn't even call this an upset. They were favored. Like, I wouldn't call it an upset if...
You're favored,
like, not an upset if you're a favorite. Like, I'm sorry. That's what I mean. Like, when you storm the court... As a favorite,
Colorado State did exactly what everyone expected them to do, is win. Yeah. I mean, you're the favorite going into the game. This is what you're supposed to do.
It was a good day for the Mountain West. Not saying it was yesterday. And to think, though, the guy, Nick Clifford, is the guy for Colorado State. He didn't have that good of a game. He shot 3 of 13 shooting, 0 of 6 from 3. He was efficient. He had 14-8. He was... 2 rebounds and 4 assists away from a triple-double. But the main star here was Kyan Evans.
Kyan Evans, 6 of 9 from 3.
And I know what stung for Memphis was no Tyrese Hunter, and they were kind of hoping and praying. And I'll say it, they got a pretty shitty draw, but I don't know. I just don't trust Penny Hardaway. I don't.
Who does? Guys wearing a key around his neck and they can't unlock any. I mean, they stink.
I don't trust Penny Hardaway. Like, Dane Danger was good. He had a 20-point double-double. PJ Haggerty was good. Same with Colby Rogers. It was just, there was no bench support whatsoever.
Yeah, and...
There was no bench support.
And it's not even like he's... Like, is he even like a good player development coach? Like, I don't even...
He just wants guys to the league. Like, that's kind of what it is. He's a hell of a recruiter. I'll give him that. Like, he's a hell of a recruiter in this transfer portal era. Like, it helps him a lot, but he just can't produce wins. And now they're in a conference where everyone basically left. There's no Houston anymore, no UCF. So now he's kind of like the top dog in the American. Now that
it just,
you know,
shows how bad the American is, though.
Yeah. It just goes to show you why they were, I believe they were a one-bid league, if I'm not mistaken. Next up, definitely one of the more, I wouldn't even call this game entertaining. This was just weird. St. Mary's takes down Vanderbilt 59-56.
Just the second half by St. Mary's. Vanderbilt just took the foot off the gas.
I said this in the preview with Ethan, and there are teams where they're so good at defense, and it feels like they could just push a button and just be like, you're not scoring. And that's semi what St. Mary's did to Vanderbilt in the second half.
Yeah.
It was because they realized who they were. I felt like the whole time.
St. Mary's went on like a 15-3 run, dude. It was just here's my thing, Stan. And the big thing for this was, yeah, they were great defensively in the second half, but they just couldn't hit a shot in the first half. Like, that was the problem. They couldn't score.
That was it. And they're not the best offensive team either. Like, that's where it kind of got worried, because, like, yeah, they can play defense, they can lock you down, but can they hit shots? And I think Augustus Marshallonis really hit those big shots in the second half. Both of his threes were in the second half.
They were big threes.
If I'm not mistaken, yeah.
Him and Barrett.
But there's really...
The rebounding, Stan. 41-28.
It was the rebounding. And, you know, Mississippi State. St. Mary's is going to win the rebounding battle every time when you have, these Lithuanian names I cannot pronounce.
They're just some big dudes.
Morauskas and Mitchell Saxon. When you have those two guys on the floor, you're going to win the rebounding battle. Actually, you're going to... Sorry. Luke Barrett.
Yeah, Saxon. They almost had three guys with double-doubles, dude. Because Marilonas had 8 boards, 14 points.
They're going to attack the glass every time. And speaking of Penny Hardaway, you know his son's on the team?
Anthony Hardaway, number three. Ashton Hardaway, whatever,
who left Memphis to go play at St. Mary's.
Smart man.
Yeah, very weird. For Vanderbilt, I saw a stat that's like, if you're a Vanderbilt basketball fan, like, you have to be thinking about it, because this is the sixth straight Vanderbilt tournament game where they've lost by one possession.
It's just a tough, and they hit 2-3 chances at the end of the game. They took 2 threes with 10 seconds left, and they could have made one of them.
Could have missed, and St. Mary's could have gotten a rebound, and they would have been fouled, and they would have hit free throws to cover the 4.5. But you know what? I digress. I had a good ending to my day. Definitely next game. Definitely a more entertaining one, despite if you saw the score. Ole Miss takes down North Carolina 71-64. Justice.
They made a comeback, Stan, but it wasn't good enough.
I feel like that's been every North Carolina game against a quad one opponent for the past couple weeks has been, you know, go down big, back in the second half and lose. It happened earlier in the year against Kansas. It happened earlier in the year when they played Michigan State, I believe. Did they play Michigan State?
And they're just not a good basketball team, dude. They're just not. They shot 38% from the field. They shot 20.8 from three. Like, they just aren't efficient. They don't make clutch shots. They don't really. I know they went on a run, but before that run, I mean, what were they shooting? 25% from the field? Like, it was just.
But as I was saying, they cannot afford to be.
They can't play from behind. You can't play from behind.
You can't. That's not a winning strategy. They did it against Kansas earlier in the year. They did it against Michigan State earlier in the year. They did it against Florida earlier in the year. They did it against Duke in the ACC tournament. And then here they are against Ole Miss. They find themselves down 20, and the next thing you know, it's a one-possession game. But then Ole Miss was able to pull away. I just don't understand. Extend Hubert Davis. Well, you know, this year he's going to be on the hot seat, so it should be pretty interesting. Mm. They have pretty good recruiting class coming in, but we all know North Carolina's track record with playing freshmen. For Ole Miss, the story of the game was 100% Sean Padula. 20 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and 50% shooting. He hit that big three in the second half that ended their 3-point cold spell. They take on Iowa State, which is going to be very interesting, I feel like.
I think Iowa State takes care of business, but it was a good game. I just think if you get in this sort of situation, like Ole Miss, they played great in the first half. What I watched in the second half was just a little underwhelming. They got one guy, Kulev. If he doesn't stay hot, it's...
Grand Canyon takes down Maryland 81-49. This Maryland team is so fun.
Takes down Grand Canyon. Fuck it. Yeah. You said Grand Canyon takes down Maryland. Maryland just beat the shit out of Grand Canyon.
Sorry. It's early. It's 9:15. I just love watching Maryland play basketball. I'm loving this team right now. Derek Queen with a double-double, 12 points, 15 rebounds. Julian Reese was a rebound away from a double-double, 18 points, 9 rebounds. That backcourt of Jacoby Gillespie, Selton Miguel, and Rondi Rice. Incredible.
Incredible. The Crab team. Five, man. The Crab Five. That's why I have them winning the whole thing.
Gotta love the crab five. Next up, the 116 game, the other 116 game, Florida takes down Norfolk State 95-69.
Don't even need to get into that.
Don't even need that was dumb. I think that was called at the first half, like with like 5 minutes left in the first half.
It was called like okay. 5 minutes left into the first half.
Yeah. I was just
5 minutes into the first half. It was just
into the first half. Yeah. Troy takes down. Sorry, I did it again.
Kentucky takes down Troy
76-57. The first half was pretty interesting. Then Kentucky kind of pulled away, and then Troy was like kind of sneaking in there, and then Kentucky just
pulled away again. Yeah,
just pulled away again. Otega Owe, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. There was another Lamont Butler. You know, he's playing injured. I seriously, and if we're going to talk about hot takes, I think they lose to Illinois tomorrow.
Kentucky?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not just great.
Beat up.
Yeah, they're just not. They're also like, they don't scare me.
Yeah, and they're beat up too. You know, there's no Lamont Butler. You know, Kobe Bryant isn't shooting the three well. I know he shot 3-6 from three, but he's not shooting the ball well. Like, you cannot have Amari Williams as a big man shooting 2 of 8 from the field.
Yeah, you can't. Like, you can't have big dudes. You got to be efficient around the basket.
I saw him miss, like, 3 layups in a row. I'm like, just dunk the ball.
That was sort of the key for this yesterday. I mean, a lot of big men were just missing open. Like, they're not even layups. They're, like, 4-foot floaters. I mean, you just kind of touch it in.
I don't know. Definitely, I wouldn't necessarily call this one a shocker, but New Mexico takes down Marquette 75-66. So Patino does it again. Donovan Dent. That boy good.
Yeah.
That boy good.
Yeah.
The first half didn't look too bleak. The 8 turnovers definitely didn't help him. But 21 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists on Marquette's side of things. I said it before. It was the big men. They needed to be more efficient, and that didn't happen. And David Joplin is more of like a forward than a big. Ben Gold. What the hell?
Ben Gold. That was the guy. I mean, three shots he hit were threes.
Yeah, like you need they needed an inside presence, and it just did not happen. And you know, Donovan Dent did Donovan Dent things, and that's kind of what the story was. Akron takes down Arizona 93-65. This was
Arizona takes down Akron. You did it again.
Arizona takes down Akron. God, the Clips are going to be a pain in the ass.
You're good.
Arizona takes down Akron 93-65. Within the first 3 minutes or within the first 2 minutes of the game, Trey Townsend, Jaden Bradley, and Caleb Love hit 3-pointers to go up 9-0 within the first 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Something that I would have liked to see better from Arizona is the free throw line. You know, they shot 30% as a team, but other than that, like...
This is a going through the motions kind of game, dude. Mm-hmm. You beat Akron, you're shooting 56% from the field, 48% from three. I mean, this was a wash after the first half. It's kind of just get this game over with and focus on the next one.
Yeah. The defending champions, UConn, take down Oklahoma 67-59. This was scary if you were a UConn fan because Jeremiah Fears was on one. 20 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. Other than that, like,
it's a good game if you had Oklahoma plus 9.5. That's all I gotta say.
Oh, I had him at plus 5.5.
I'm an alt spread king, dude.
Forgot you're an alt king. Forgot about that.
I live and die by the alt spreads, dude.
Nothing really like pops out on the UConn stat sheet. It's honestly, they just found a way to win the game.
Yeah,
because if they didn't have that like winning DNA that Dan Hurley has had for the past 2 years, I think we're talking about Oklahoma beating UConn.
Yeah, I mean,
how abysmal of a year it was for UConn basketball.
If Oklahoma just shot the ball like at a normal team clip instead of 32% and 17% from three, then this is a completely different game. But they did not show up. They couldn't shoot the ball. They couldn't make any baskets. And
couldn't do shit.
Yeah, UConn just pulled away.
They couldn't do shit. I mean, Jeremiah Fears is a stud. If he should be an NBA player at this time next year, hopefully. If he stays for another year, good Lord. Watch out.
A little bit.
Yeah. Illinois takes down Xavier 86-73. Will Riley, the freshman, with 22 points. I believe Tomislav Ivasic hit four threes. Kasperis Jakusonis was a rebound away from a triple-double. This Illinois team's good, and people are distracted by the fact that, you know, they had the bad loss to Duke at the Garden where they lost by like 45. They had the bad loss to Maryland in the Big Ten tournament. But people need to realize after that 40-something point loss against Duke, they were able to beat Iowa and smack them. I know Iowa sucks. They were able to beat Michigan on their home floor. And they were able to beat Purdue. This Illinois team has the tools. It's just that they have been faced with so much adversity throughout the year. I seriously think they beat Kentucky, and I'll be honest, they could possibly go to the Elite Eight.
They're a deep team, dude. I'm not saying it's impossible. Four of their five starters and 15-plus points. I mean, yeah, pretty efficient shooting.
Yeah, great story for Xavier this year. I mean, you could have asked for a lot more out of Zach Fremantle. Shout out Kevin Daly. I know he's not the biggest Zach Fremantle guy, but you know, that Bergen Bosco rivalry runs pretty deep. In 49 states, it's just basketball.
Yeah, I know.
In New Jersey,
it's life.
Yeah, it's life.
The Illinois, Rutgers of high school.
Illinois will take on Kentucky tomorrow. Bryant takes down. Fuck, I did it again. Michigan State takes down Bryant, 87-62. This first half was pretty interesting.
Way too close.
I think the story of this game was Earl Timberlake getting his like face cut open and looking like he just like got attacked. But no, he got cut in his forehead and started like dripping blood. But the second half was all Sparty, and as it should have been. So
yeah, I mean, Rafael Pinzon was, he may have 21 points, but 9 of 26 from the field and 2 of 12 from three.
Bryant's a good team. They're very well coached. I like Phil Martelli Jr. a lot. But, of course, it's Michigan State.
It's a skill issue.
Coleman Carr almost had a double-double off the bench, which is pretty cool. That man can fly like no other.
Yeah. 18
have you ever seen Coleman Carr dunks?
I haven't even seen him dunk, no.
That man can fly. He once dunked on his own teammate mid-game.
All right, well, I'll be looking for that tomorrow.
Yeah, like, absurd. Then last but not least, complete and utter domination from Tim's Oregon Ducks, 81-52.
They're a good
team. Dana Altman remains undefeated in the first round of the NCAA tournament since 2007. Oregon, Jackson Shellstat shot 7 of 11 from the field, including three threes. Nate Biddle was efficient as well. He had a 14-point double-double.
Whole team was efficient.
Whole team is pretty efficient. Tim, do you think that this is – now they take on Arizona tomorrow. They're 4.5-point underdogs. Bill Walton is somewhere smiling because this is the Pac-12 matchup that everyone dreamed of.
Yeah.
Rip Pac-12. I just love –
It's still alive in our hearts.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
I know.
It's not the same. I'm not going to take it seriously when I see Gonzaga playing Pac-12 games. But anyway, what's your confidence level going into this game?
If they can shoot the ball as well as they did against Liberty, I know it's going to be a completely different game because it's just a completely different team. But
yeah, Arizona's Arizona's a very streaky team because I said in the bracket preview with Ethan, I said, you know, they started the year shitty, then they were able to get some non-conference wins off and start Big 12 play very well. And then they lost a couple more games, and then they went to the Big 12 championship. Like, that's just kind of what they were. So, like, if they are on this hot streak, who knows? But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if they resort to bat, you know, what they were at the start of the year, I think Oregon can, this might be a sneaky little underdog pick here. If you're throwing something in a parlay, this might juice up the odds a little bit. So I wouldn't stay away from Oregon.
Jackson Jobe makes the opening day roster for the Tigers.
Yeah, that's nice. There you go.
Also, speaking of, all right, we'll talk about this one time, and then we'll do the outro.
Wait. Giant. Yeah, I know. That's a big. We'll get to awesome. That's Tuesday's episode. Also,
that's Tuesday. But
like Clay Holmes finished spring with a .93 ERA and 22 strikeouts. So
absurd. Don't rain on my parade right now. Jameis Winston's my quarterback.
It'll be an interesting year, Stan.
Not rain on my parade. All right. Hot takes for tomorrow. I kind of already shared mine. I think Illinois is going to be an Elite Eight team.
Yeah. You know what, Stan? Like this, you can call me crazy all you want. If Creighton's shooting the ball well, Auburn's in trouble.
Okay, I like that. I like that a lot. All right.
Okay. You said it too. The first one seed going down is Auburn. I'm kind of on that train with you. I think this might be a tough game for them.
Okay. All right. Okay. Then next time, tomorrow morning. All right, that's gonna wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Be sure to like this video on YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube. Be sure to like our videos on YouTube. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
Five stars
only. And we will see you guys tomorrow morning to recap the first round of 32 games on Sunday. So we'll see you guys then. The madness continues. Peace out.